You may be seated. Act like it again. Come on, this is a cool church. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in one of the hottest churches in Pretoria. Amen. I thank God I'm part of the movement. I thank God for Pastor Leon. You guys are praying for him. Pray even more. The enemy is not happy with a church that is on fire. The enemy is not happy with a non-compromising church. We won't compromise. I said no compromise. No compromise. Nothing. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I will not be like a dog returning to my own vomit again. What God has delivered me from, I will stay away. Amen. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We are free in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, 17. It says this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what your pastor preaches. Huh? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what the evangelist says. Is that what it says? Well, come on, correct me then. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by? By the word of God. That's the only place where we get faith. Yes, we stir up our faith by what God is seeing people do. And I said that this morning. Nicodemus sat in church, and he was watching Jesus do the miracles, yet he himself did not do it. Do you remember what I was speaking about this morning? Nicodemus did not perform the miracles. He was amazed. And so we as well tonight, we must understand that you are watching what I do, what your pastor does, what other people do. That's wonderful for what we can do, but that's God using us. What about you? He wants to use you. Come on, He wants to use you. He's waiting in anticipation that you will get out there and begin to do or bring a demonstration of the power of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 2, you know this Bible, the word says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know this. We have to renew our mind. And the only way I can renew my mind is by doing what the Word says. Not what somebody told me, by what the Word says. Because His Word is true. Jeremiah 1:12 says that God watches over His Word to perform His Word. God is constantly looking, observing, watching, and He's waiting for His Word to get into action. And when we begin to apply His Word and do His Word, God is there to work with us. See, when I got saved, I shared this testimony, and I only want to take about 20 minutes. Is that okay if I just talk a little bit? But when I got saved, you know, I shared my testimony this morning, and when I got saved, it was like I stepped into a brand new world. Who's ever experienced that? I mean, the old things really passed away. My hearing changed, my eyes, my speaking, my life completely transformed. And I planted that first church, you know, 3 days old in the Lord, and we just started ministering night by night. I didn't go to a Bible school. My Bible school was in church every night when I would just open the Bible and I would read. And when I would read, I would apply it, and God moved. Simple faith. Faith is simple. I said faith is easy. Faith is not hard. People come to me and they say, please pray for me. I don't have faith. I said, are you born again? They said, yes. I said, how did you get born again? They said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I said, do you believe Jesus in your heart? They said, yes. I said, how did you believe that? You couldn't believe it if you didn't have faith. You have faith. You see, we were all born. The Bible says each one of us, Romans 12, 3, the B part says that each one of us has been given a measure of faith. So we all have faith. You were born with faith. Otherwise, we couldn't get saved. We couldn't believe. Who understands that? Inside of us is deposited faith. Faith is easy. But it's only easy if you do it the way the Bible says. You see, I was preaching And I was ministering. We planted our second church in Graskop. And When I planted the second church, you know, every day I ran two businesses a day. Well, actually, between Shemaine's family and my family, we had four businesses. And so I was, we had two businesses in Pilgrim's Rest and two in Graskop. And so I would drive, anybody been in that area will know that mountain. You know, we would drive every day from one town back to the other town, and I would be working, but I would be preaching every day as well. And when I was bored, I would hit the streets. I just like that. When you're bored, you just go out. And I began to evangelize in the streets, you know. I would just walk. I'd say to the Lord, I'm bored, so help me, Lord. I want to get somebody saved. Then I'd walk in the street. If somebody came walking to me, I would go straight up to them, take them by the hand and say, excuse me, I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. And I said, Jesus, heal me. And I would share my testimony. Then I'd pray for them and God would heal them in the streets. I led up to 30 to 40 people a day in the streets to Jesus. A day. Now I know somebody would say, yeah, but what did you do with them? I sent them to our church. No, not all of them came to our church, but you know, most of those people who got saved, we took them to church and discipled them. But the fact of the matter is, I went out and I just, you know, I prayed for people in the streets. I can tell you so many miracles of what God had done, and I thank God that He allowed this to happen tonight. How many of you are thankful to Him that He could see, that we could see this healing power? And God's not finished. I know there's a lot of you who need a touch, and so when we lay hands on you later on, you know, God will touch you. But I remember one day I was walking in the streets, you know, I was just in my, because I had a gift store, a curio shop, you know, I was in my short pants and t-shirt and pluckies, you know, and I just gone home, I had lunch and I went back to work. Now, I wasn't in a 40-day fast, I wasn't in worship, I wasn't reading my Bible, I was on my way to church, who knows, just a regular guy on his way to church. And as I was walking, I saw in the distance a group of people who had a white handkerchief. Now, we lived next to a little hill. And on top of the hill, there was this group of people with a hanky. They were waving the hanky like this. And I was wondering who they were waving to, but they were waving to me. And on top of the hill, they were shouting. They said, Pastor Dion, please, please wait, wait, wait. And I want to go to work. And here they come. And they were carrying a boy who was 4 years old. He was born deaf and dumb. He was retarded, and he was completely paralyzed. If you would take water in a plastic bag, and if you would squish the plastic bag, who knows, with water, that feeling. Now, his legs were just like that. There was nothing there. There was no bone there. There was no kneecaps. I was feeling. And so they brought this kid. They threw this kid into my hands. They said, Pastor, we've come from far. We've come from Birkslag, and we've heard about you. Will you please pray for my child? And the mother literally threw it into my arms, this boy. And, you know, this kid was just... And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not fasting. I'm not, you know, prayed up. And who understands what I'm trying to say? It's just me. And so these people came from far, and I said, okay, Lord, they've come, I ask you to touch them. So I lay this kid on the ground. I mean, this is in the sidewalk. There's cars driving up and down, people walking past me. Actually, some people stop to check what's going on, you know. I like that. And this kid's on the floor, and I hold his hands all weak, you know. So I'm holding his little hands, and he's deaf, and he's dumb and everything. And I said, simple, the simple prayer. I said, Father, these people have come from far. I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus that you will do a miracle. And when I said that in the name of Jesus, his little hands grabbed my fingers. I mean, I just felt power go through him. And when I felt that power, I literally took this kid. Now you can understand, there's a four-year-old kid, a small, light little kid, you know. I was so excited. I said, stand up in the name of Jesus. But I pulled him so hard, I actually lifted him off the ground. And as I pulled him up, when his feet hit the ground, God put bone where there was no bone. God put kneecaps where there were no kneecaps. Hallelujah. Come on. Well, the kid stood there looking at me. The mother couldn't believe her eyes. I stuck my fingers in his ears, just like you saw me now. And I said, you deaf and dumb spirit, I bind you. And when I did that, the kid looked at me. Immediately, he was restored to his right state of mind. And he could hear and he could speak. Hallelujah. presented him back to his mom, turned around and walked off to work. Because I cannot do the miracle, it's Jesus who does the miracle. And always keep that in mind. You know, when I asked earlier on, I said, how many of you want to be used by God? Everybody raised their hands. But I want to ask you this question. Why? Why do you want to be used by God? You see, a lot of people want to walk around and say, check what I can do. I'm the guy with the power. You know, I can do this. And I, listen, if you are like that, God won't give you the power. You must have one reason for the power and one reason only. That's to glorify God. That's to give Jesus the praise and to get the church to grow and to see people get saved. Come on. It's not about me. It's all about Him. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must be humble. Have a right motive. You know, I was leading all these people to Jesus. Man, so many people. In actual fact, our church was getting fuller and the other church were getting emptier. Because people go where the power is. People go where that anointing is. You understand that. So while I'm walking one day in the street, I'll never forget it. While I'm walking, a big Mercedes-Benz pulls up next to me. And a man jumps out of the car, and I know exactly who he was. This man is fuming. He's mad at me. And he walks up to me and he sticks his finger in my face. I'm in the street. He walks up, he puts his finger in my face. He says, who do you think you are? I said, excuse me? He said, who do you think you are? I said, what do you mean? Now, he was a minister from another church in town. I won't say what church. And he said to me, who do you think you are? I said, I'm Dion. He said, who gives you the right to do what you're doing? I said, what am I doing? He says, what is this? You're leading people to Jesus and you're praying for the sick. I mean, he says, where's your ordination? Where's your papers? So, you know, that old Joburg Jola wanted to come out in me, you know. I wanted to slap him, but I said to him, I said, sir, you're a minister of the gospel, aren't you? He said, yes, you know who I am. I said, are you getting angry at me because people are giving their hearts to Jesus? And he said, that's a lot of rubbish. Who gives you that right to do this? I said, are you not rejoicing of people that are being healed by the power of God? And he said, there is no such thing. God doesn't heal. Well, I felt the same. I said, I feel really sorry for you if you don't believe that God can heal, because you know that's why you are rebuking me of all the miracles God has been doing. And he said to me, but where's your ordination certificate? Where's your papers? Who gives you the right? Then I said to him something that was amazing, and maybe some of you can learn from this. I said to him, do you believe in the Bible? He's a minister. I said, do you believe in the Bible? He said, of course I do. I said, do you have your Bible with you? And he said, yes, I do. I said, give me your Bible. So he takes out his Bible. Now, there's a little trick I want to learn you. Take somebody else's Bible who's fighting with you. Don't take your Bible, because they always think your Bible's wrong. So I take his Bible. I said, this is your Bible? He said, yes. I said, you believe this is God's word? He said, yes. I said, do you want to know where I get my authority from? And he said, yes. And so I opened my Bible, and this is for you tonight. I know you know this. I know you know this. But I want to share this with you, because fear and lies go hand in hand. The devil is the liar. Now, I know all of you who are sitting here tonight, you're saying, I want to be used like that. I want this power. But let me tell you, it's not Dion Hockey or Leon DePrier who lays hands on you to get power. We can't give you anything. We can just lay hands as a vessel, you know, like a hose pipe tapped to a tap. And the water flows through the hose pipe. It's not the hose pipe that lets the water go. It's the tap. You know, it's a simple example, but all we are is the hose pipe connected to God to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us to touch you. So it's the Holy Spirit who does the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the gift. You know what I'm saying. So I opened the Bible and I said to him, I'm going to read to you where I get my authority from. Now, this is for all of you tonight, okay? Because the Bible is not for one man, it's for everybody. Come on, it's for the believers. It's for those who are hungry like you. So in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, it says this. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gave them power. Who? His disciples. Well, that man, now he starts arguing with me. He says to me, "You're wrong." I said, "I'm wrong." He said, "Yes, that scripture you are reading is only for the 12 apostles. It's not for us today. It's not meant for us." I said, "Oh, that's interesting." I said, "Are you a disciple?" He said, "What do you mean?" And I shared with you what disciple means this morning. I said, a disciple means to be a follower of Christ. So are you following Christ? Remember, I'm speaking to a minister. He says, "Yes, I'm a follower of Christ." I said, "You believe in Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "You believe in the word?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Then you're a disciple also." "Yeah, but that doesn't count." I said, "What doesn't count?" He says, "This what you are speaking is only for those guys. It's not for us today." I said, "You're wrong." So I opened the Bible to him in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Now you should know this off by heart, because if you don't, I'll quote it to you, because it is a scripture that cannot be taken out of context. It says this: Jesus Christ is the same. Come on, say it again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's never changed. He's never changed. He's the same God. He's the same God alive in this room tonight. I said to him, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what he did in his days, he's still doing today. And he will still continue doing it in 100 million years from now, because he's the same God. His name is I Am, not I was or I'm going to be. He is alive. Come on, somebody. He's alive inside of us. He's real. He's not dead. He's alive. You know, some people have the impression, honestly, there's a lot of people who have the impression that when the apostles died and when Jesus died, the power died with them. Many, many people, I know you don't have this problem, but many churches are sitting under this negative influence. Well, God can't do it. But I have good news to you tonight. He can. He wants to. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive. He's in us tonight. He's anointed us with His Holy Spirit. So, I read this to him. It says here, he gave his 12 disciples power. He gave them power. Somebody say power. That dunamis power over unclean spirits. Somebody say unclean spirits. Now, why did he give them the power? To do what with them? To sit down and have a picnic and ask how many are in there and how long have you been there? You're not hearing me. Come on. We're not there to entertain the devil. We are there to cast him out in the name of Jesus. We are to cast the devil out. Get out. Amen. Cast them out to heal all kinds. Somebody say all kinds. Of what? Sickness and all kinds of diseases. He's given you and I the authority. Do you believe that? Huh? Look at verse 7. You know this, he says, and he said to them, "Go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jesus says to his 12, which is referring to us, he says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you must give." That's the authority that you and I have received from Jesus. Hey. It's not for the one and twos and those special anointed people. This is for everybody who believes. Everybody. That's you. Anybody who believes can do this power. Jy is nie 'n wrimpie nie. Jy's nie hierdie klein ag Jesus, you know, will do it for them, but I'm not good enough. No, you're good enough. If you have faith in God, all things are possible. You have the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the power. Come on. At the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow. Well, this guy still didn't believe me. He said, you're wrong. It's not for us. I said, okay. I said, I opened his Bible and you can go there. Luke chapter 10. You know this, but I'm just, you know, just giving you confirmation. Luke 10 verse 1. I like this. It says, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Somebody say 70 others. First he spoke to 12. Now he's speaking to 70. Who are these 70 people? We don't know them. The Bible doesn't speak about them. Hello? Their names aren't recorded. Which tells me that those 70 implies to you and I tonight, we are part of the 70. Come on, somebody. You and I are forming part of the 70. And Jesus appointed 70 others also. And what did he do? He sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place where he himself was about to go. Listen, this is a year of evangelism for this church. Come on, this is the year of evangelism. I know that this is what Pastor Leon is moving towards. And I want to tell you right now that after tonight, there is a spirit of evangelism that will be loosed upon you. There will be a healing anointing, a salvation anointing coming upon you like never before. You can get excited and shout amen, but there's always a but. It will not happen if you don't step out by faith. You can fast for 40 days. I'm sorry to say this, but you can pray for 40 days and say, God, use me. But if you do not take the step of faith, open your mouth, speak, lay hands on somebody, nothing will happen. God is looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for somebody who's got the boldness and guts to get out there and say, Lord, if Peter next to me won't go, if John won't go, I will go, Jesus. Use me, Lord. I'm willing to do the sacrifice for you. Amen. So, he appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two. Why two by two? When you guys begin to hit the streets, and when you guys begin to do whatever God's going to show you to do, do it two by two. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. The Bible says, if two of us will agree on earth concerning anything that we ask, it will be done by the Father. Amen. So, two by two is very important. I do mercy outreaches, you know, and we have huge crusades. And, you know, we lead up to 5,000 people in 3 weeks. We lead 5,000 people to Jesus. And when we hit the streets and we take teams with us and we minister, you know, it's just an amazing thing. Because I've seen this, when somebody's on their own, the devil attacks them. But when there's two of us together, the devil doesn't have a foothold to stand. He can do nothing, come on, because we're in agreement. There's something about the prayer of agreement. There's power in agreement. As I said earlier, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight. 300,000, 4,000,000. Think about it. This is a multiplication. All of us sitting here, if all of us were in total agreement, there is not a demon or a strong man or whatever big enough to stop what God's going to do in Centurion. Come on, I'm telling you. We have that anointing. Verse 9, it says this. Remember, I'm still speaking to this minister. Verse 9 says, and heal the sick there. He's speaking to us. He's given us this authority. He sent us. Say this, I'm a sent one. Say it again. Now, some people, their theological thinking will be rattled because, you know, we believe, and it's true, the Bible says the apostle is the sent one, but all of us have been sent, not by a church or an organization or a denomination. We have been sent by Jesus himself because he said, go! Come on, go. He's sending you tonight. He's sending each and every one of us. He's saying, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you power. I'm telling you, go out there. Preach this gospel. Amen. He says, heal the sick there. Say to them that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Amen. Verse 17, I love this. I'm just skipping a bit because I want to lay hands on you. Who's ready for that anointing? Verse 17 says, then the 70 returned with sadness. And they said, Lord, the people spat in our faces. And the people mocked us. And the people chased us away. Is that what it says? No. They returned with joy. Who wants joy? Listen. Listen. There's a joy that you will receive that no drug or alcohol or any experience that the world can offer us. There is no joy like the joy of the Lord when you lead somebody to Jesus and when you see the power of God flowing through you. Come on, it's a joy unspeakable. It's a joy full of glory. It's a joy full of power. Hallelujah. A life being transformed by the power of God. There was joy, you see. And they said this, I like this one. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And guess what, church? They didn't go to deliverance school. They didn't join demonology classes. They had no formal training. They just had the word, go in my name. Go and lay hands on this. Go and cast out devils. Come on, we have a name that is above every other name by which every knee shall bow. Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. You know, how many of you saw the movie The Lion King? Who remembers those three hyenas? Do you remember when the one hyena said Mufasa? Do you remember the other hyenas? They went woo. He said, say it again. Mufasa, woo. I want to tell you, when we say Jesus, the demons go, woo. Come on. We lift up the name of Jesus. Shout Jesus. 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 Woo. Hallelujah. Now, don't be amazed if the guy next to you is going, bleh, bleh, bleh. That's okay, it's the devil. We'll just get rid of him. Hey, listen, if you got a demon, I'm going to get him tonight. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. See, some of you, oh, yeah, I go up naked the devil, I go up naked the devil. Jesus. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now watch this. This is for you, right? For me, for us who believe. Not given by an institution, but given by the living God. Oh, you're not hearing me. Given by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given you and me authority. He says this, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have power and authority. You see, when I would evangelize and I used to go into areas and I would knock on doors. You know, for 1 year, I knocked on the same door. I mean, in one part of my ministry, I knocked on the same door for 5 years every night. Every night, I knocked on the same streets. I knocked in that whole place. And I got to a place where the shebeens were. Who knows what's a shebeen? Were they selling illegal alcohol? And they were weapon smugglers and all these type of people that were in these places. And I would knock on the door, you see, because I would rent a building and I would have healing meetings then. So every night I would knock on doors and say, hi, 7 o'clock tonight, we have a healing meeting. I would love to invite you. And then all these people would be there, smoke in the room. You know, you can smell the dacha and the people are drunk and there's guns. And they all look at me and I say, Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. What you're doing is wrong. He loves you so much, you're going to go to hell. And these people would get so mad at me. You know, they would cuss me and swear at me, and they would try to hit me, you know. And I remember one day I knocked on the door, and when I knocked on the door flew open, and a guy had a knife this big. I'm not lying to you, a huge knife. He stuck it in my throat. He said, you say that name again, I'll kill you. I'll cut you. I'll kill you. And I'm looking at him, you know. The Bible says the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So my body's going like this, but the devil says, God says, do it, make my day, you know, come on. I'm saying, shut up, spirit, what's the matter with you? Hallelujah. But that devil looked at me in my eyes and he said, I'll kill you. I'll kill you. And all these men were in the room watching me, you know. And I looked at this man in the eyes. And even though my flesh was scared, my spirit was like a lion. And I said, Satan, you lying devil, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Let this man go right now. He was holding the knife, and he was holding this knife. And this is literally what he's doing. He's going like this. And the knife falls out of his hand. I said, you see, you can't touch me. If God be for me, who can be against me? The blood of Jesus is all over me. The angels of God are encamped round about me. Hallelujah. That man fell to the ground and gave his heart to Jesus right there. Come on, that's the power of Jesus that we got. I was preaching in another place and I was knocking on doors and I invited people. It was a small little house, you know, it was a small little hut. And I knocked on the same door, never opened, but every time I knock on the door, you can see by the window somebody's looking. Then I knock on the door, I say, open up, oh, I've got good news, I want to tell you about Jesus. And they would look and, you know, never come out. And then one night I knocked on that same door, and as I knocked, I heard clearly there, I heard this, and I thought, oh my Lord. And I hear in the back, and I'm not lying to you, a 90-kilogram Rottweiler was set on me. Who knows? Have you seen a snarling, foaming at the mouth Rottweiler? He's a chridding. And this thing came around the corner to bite me. And as he came around, I'm not lying to you, God's honest truth. As he came to me, I said, sit in the name of Jesus. And the dog went, and he just sat there. Come on, that's the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, that was so funny. So the guy looks through the window. He sees his dog sitting there. I said, it didn't work. So he walks out and he kicks the dog. I said, don't kick the dog. What's the matter with you? I led that man to Jesus. It took me 5 years, but I got him saved. Hallelujah. Come on, got them saved. Gave his heart to Jesus. Listen, when you get radically saved, you do radical things. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to get radical. Ah, your neighbor didn't hear it. Say it again. It's time to get radical. Dis hartseer, Pastor Leon. Ons kan 'n herlewing hê, man. I feel the spirit of revival. Come on, God. There is something happening. There's a revival anointing here. You know, when I sense this, you know, we've had revivals go from 2 weeks to 5 weeks. My longest revival has been 2 years, where I walked into a place and 2 years later I walked out. I was preaching in America and in a town, and it was in Texas. Now, Texas is a place where gambling is not allowed. It's against the law of Texas. So there's no gambling. And in this town, there were 5 illegal casinos set up by the mafia and by the Mexican people and so forth. And so we entered into, it was amazing. We started off with about 300 people. And by that Friday night, we were 1,000 people packed in that place. I remember one night when we were worshiping, the healing anointing around the church in a radius of 20 kilometers, the healing anointing was so powerful that those who rode to church were healed before they even got into the building. Come on, that's the God that we serve. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open before they even came to church. They carried a man in who fell from a tree 45 meters high, a palm tree. He was a picker of the fruit there. 45 meters, he fell out of the tree. He hit the ground and broke all the bones in his body, every bone. They carried him into the service. He was screaming in agony. He couldn't walk. And when they brought him in, they laid him down. We laid hands. I laid hands on him. And when I laid hands on him, you heard. And he jumped up, healed by the power of God. Revival hit that place. Come on, wow.
What a mighty God we serve. We started going to the next week, and then in the third week when we were there, I started praying like this, and I started saying, Lord, with, you know, you got 1,000 crazy people like you tonight, you know, on fire for God. And I prayed, I said, Lord, we bind every alcohol liquor store. We bind it. We ask you, Lord, shut down these liquor stores. Well, yellow mood blairag, you should say amen. Except those who are bound by alcohol, you're going to say, no. We prayed, Lord, every bar be shut down in the hotels. I said, Lord, we pray for every casino to shut down because Christians are going to the casino and spending their tithing money, giving it to the devil instead of to the work of God. Well, we prayed like that, you know, and it was on the following day, the Wednesday. I was at the pastor in the church there, you know, it was 11 o'clock in the morning. We were drinking coffee and all of a sudden they had a huge parking lot. And all of a sudden we see out of the window police cars. Now, I don't know if you know America, you know, when you see these blue cars coming out, lights, woo-hoo, like there were about 30 cars that just pulled up on the park. I thought, what in the world? And the pastor was worried, I was worried, so he ran out, and all the cops are standing there, and the pastor goes, says, what's happening? He says, we don't know what's happening, but we just received instruction. We received instruction that we are to shut down every casino that is in this town. I said, what? They said, yeah, we've got this instruction to shut it down. Hallelujah. So these cops were standing there, and I walked up. I said, excuse me, I just want to tell you, we're in a revival. You're standing on the property of a revival that's taking place. And I said, we've been praying in this week that God would shut down all the casinos, but you have now been sent by God. And I said, hold hands. Now, these cops, they know nothing. I said, hold hands. And they hold hands. I said, I prayed for them. I said, Lord, give them the wisdom, the courage. Just use them, Lord. And the 1 hour, I'm not lying to you, 1 hour, the cops came back and every casino was shut down in that town in America. Every casino. Come on, that's what God can do when revival hits a church. I was preaching in Mayerton, just here around the corner, Mayerton. Who knows Mayerton? Vereniging Mayerton. We had a 9-week revival. 9 weeks we were going. Hundreds and thousands of people. I think we had something like 3,000 or 4,000 people get saved in those 9 weeks. And I'll never forget this. The church was packed, you know. People were coming from all over. And one evening, a man comes to me. He says, Brother Dion, can I share a testimony? I said, sure. Who are you? He said, I'm the Methodist minister. I said, Methodist? He said, yeah, he's a Jewish guy. Nice chap. He said, I'm from the Methodist church. I said, awesome, are you here? He said, yeah. He says, you've changed my church. I said, me? I said, I did nothing. It's God. He said, yeah, my whole congregation has been coming, and they told me to come as well. I said, wonderful. He said, what would you like to share? So he shares with the people. He says, listen, I don't know what happened, but I tell you what, that there is a revival in my church, in the Methodist church. He said, you know, we would sprinkle babies with water, but we have a pool inside of our church and we are baptizing people and our whole congregation is different. Hallelujah. He said, we used to just sing hymns, but now we have guitars and drums and there's something happening in our worship services and God is moving. Come on, the Methodist church had a revival breakout. We had a Baptist minister. This is in South Africa. Another guy who came to me said, can I share something? I said, yes, sir. What is it? He says, I'm the Baptist minister. I said, you are? He said, yes. I said, what do you want to share? He says, I don't know what's happening, but my people have been coming to your meetings, and all of a sudden, my church is different. There is an excitement. People are leading people to Jesus. People are praying for people, and they're getting healed. He said, something has taken place in my church. I think we were like in the fifth week of this revival. And as I'm ministering like now, you know, I see a man sitting there. Now, there were many ministers and people there. But there was a woman with glasses, you know, like a boopy, just sitting in the front row. And I don't know this man nowhere. Don't know who he is. And I said, excuse me, sir, I believe God has something for you. And this man stands up. And I said, please, would you stand in front of me? I just want to pray for you. Now, I'm not like Pastor Leon, who can, I can prophesy when the gift of prophecy comes, you know, but I'm not like that. So anyway, I just lay my hands on him, and as I lay my hands, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, what do I say? And I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, please touch it. And the next minute, literally, he picks up, flies through the air, and hits the ground. He just, boom, dale. And he's like, when he hits the ground, he goes, and God baptizes him in the Holy Ghost. Just touches him. Well, that's awesome. Praise God. That's wonderful. But while he's lying there, the pastor of the church and all the other ministers, they're going like this. And I'm thinking, what's wrong? And the pastor says to me, the pastor, he says, Dion. I said, what? He says, do you know who that is? I said, He said, it's the Inge Domini. Glory! Domini. Boom. Man, that was powerful. So, I'm excited. The church is excited, you know. He's lying there for like 20 minutes, just speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And after 20 minutes, I help him up. He's like, and I said this. I said, everybody who needs a healing, quickly come forward, quick. And about 30 people jumped up and ran down. And I said to this man, I didn't call him Duomu. I said, but sir, I said, put your hand on these people. Quickly pray for them. In the name of Jesus, God's going to heal them. And he said, but I said, don't, but just put your hand on them. You know, goats butt, sheep follow. So, he puts his hand on the first person. He said, why? You know, he didn't know what to do. I said, say in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he says, in the name of Jesus. And the guy, boom, falls on the ground. He gets healed. And he gets all excited. He does the next. In the name of Jesus, boom. In the name of Jesus, boom. And that man was shining from head to toe. He'd never seen the power of God. He'd never experienced that. Hallelujah. He goes to church on Sunday. He comes back the next Monday. He says to me, Dion, can I please share something? I said, yes, sir. Tell us what's happening. Now you got to know, the church is packed with people. Don't know where they come from. But he says, I just want to share with you. You know, obviously, who I am. I said, yes, I do. Now I will call you on your title, Duomini. He said, yeah, I'm a Duomini. He says, but I went to church on Sunday. And he says, I've never had such a big attendance like I did this Sunday. It's the biggest attendance I've ever had. Obviously, the news spread. And all the people came to me and looked. And he said this. He said, well, I took the microphone and I said to everybody, I know you want to know what happened to me. He says, but I don't care what happened to me. I know that if I put my hand on you and I say in the name of Jesus, something's going to happen to you. Something's going to happen. God's going to heal you, touch you. He says, Pastor Dion, you won't believe. I think it was about 800 people or something in his church. He said, I laid hands on my congregation and I did what you did. I laid hands, I said in the name of Jesus, and the people fell out. Revival hit the Enchia church. Hallelujah. People were baptized. People were saved. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. When revival hits a church, it will not change the church. It will change the community. Come on, it'll change the community. And I'm asking God tonight that what He has started will break out. Come on, who wants? That it'll break out. It'll break out. And that God will anoint you. And that He will use you. And that you will stay humble before Him. That anointing. Because He says, I give you the authority. I give you the power. Don't think you don't qualify. Van julle kyk na my, jy glo my nie. Hoor wat ek jou sê vanaand. Jy kwalifiseer. As jy kind van God is, kwalifiseer jy om deur God gebruik te word. Can I ask you just to sit down real quick? I'm going to lay hands on you now. But I don't want anybody to look around or walk around right now. Please bow your head and close your eyes. Many people want to be used by God, but they don't know God. Many people are hungry, but they've never met the healer. You've never met Jesus. And before I lay hands on you tonight, it is important for you to understand you must be born again. You must be saved. I asked the question to the church this morning and many responded, and tonight we have new people here. But I want to ask you this question. Friend, who's come to this building? Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you had to die tonight, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Think about this question. If I had to die right now, will I open up my eyes in heaven or will I open up my eyes in hell? And if you are sitting here and you say, I don't know, I hope I'll go to heaven. Hoping is not knowing, you will go to hell. Somebody else will say, if I die, I think I'll go to heaven. Thinking is not knowing, you will go straight to hell. Somebody would say, yes, but we serve a God of love and grace and mercy. He won't send me to hell. He didn't make hell for man. He made it for the Satan and his demons. But unfortunately, because of the people's rebellion against God and their unbelief, they refuse to believe in Jesus, those people will go to hell. But God, through his grace and his mercy, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe on him will have everlasting life. See, friend, Jesus loves you so much. Jy het in hierdie kerk ingestap vanaand, jy het nie geweet wat om te verwag nie. Iemand het jou genooi. En jy het vanaand die krag van God gesien. You saw the manifest power of God. Deaf ears open, people being set free. And still you say, I don't know this Jesus. Jesus does not want you to go to hell. That's why God gave us an opportunity to call on the name of Jesus so that salvation can come to us. If you are sitting here tonight, you say, Pastor Dion, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. Yes, I go to church, but I know that my life is not right before God. And I want to give my heart to Jesus. Dion, ek herken my lewe is 'n gemors. My lewe val uit mekaar uit. Niks werk vir my nie. Maar vanaand wil ek my hart en my lewe vir Jesus gee. Asseblief, Dion, bid vir my. Please, Dion, pray for me that I won't go to hell, but that I can go to heaven. Without anybody looking except me, I know this is a tough time now. This is a scary moment. But if you would love for me to pray for you, and I know there's many of you tonight who want to do this. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. And I will pray for you to receive Jesus into your life. Don't worry about your friends next to you. Don't worry about the people around you. You and Jesus right now. Don't listen to the lie that says you don't have to put your hand up. Don't listen to that lie. Listen to your heart. Sê, Dion, jy moet vir my bid vanaand. Ek wil my hart vir Jesus gee. Hier kom het, ek gaan tot drie tel. Jy steek jou hand op as jy jou hart vir Jesus wil gee. If you're a visitor, we're not trying to rob you from your church, honestly. You can go back to your church and serve God there, but don't miss this opportunity of salvation. Are you ready? Here it comes. One, two, three. Pray out loud with me. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I stand before you tonight and I confess I'm a sinner. But I ask you, Father, to please forgive me all my sins in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus washes me right now. Cleanses me right now of all my sin. As I stand here now, I have no more sin. Say it again, I have no more sin. I've been forgiven. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Lord Jesus, by faith, I invite you now to come and live in my heart. I receive you now as my God, my Savior, and my very best friend. Tonight, I make you the Lord of my life. I will serve you with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my being. Right now, I am born again. I am saved. If I die, I will not go to hell. I will go to heaven because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, God, for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give God a big shout.